I want to ask you to read the passage with me in the Gospel of Luke first. We'll turn there. Luke chapter 2, begin reading in verse number 40. This is familiar. The Lord Jesus' childhood is almost untouched in the Gospels. We know very little. Between the time of His birth and the return from Egypt when He was several years old and the time of His public ministry. But we do have recorded here in Luke chapter 2 and verse 40, one occasion. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it, but they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now it may not be easy for you to put a marker there in that chapter. We'll come back to it later. But then read with me from Exodus chapter 20. We are this year considering the Ten Commandments and learning one after the other the truths of God's law. So we're down now to the second table of the law on the right, the table that has to do with loving our neighbor as ourselves. And the first of those commandments is recorded in verse 12 here in chapter 20. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thine days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Here it is, Father's Day today, and we're looking at this commandment, the commandment to honor our father and mother. Last Sunday, we focused our attention on honoring our father and mother. We looked at the word honor, and maybe for the sake of those who are visiting today or who were not here last Sunday, and also for our sake who were here last Sunday, we need to talk a little bit more about this word honor, because it is a word that has to do with displaying reverence towards someone, paying respect to that person. It has to do with laying hold of the value of someone and then showing our appreciation of their value. So to honor someone. If it were possible this morning for us to bring some of the great old missionaries or evangelists of the past, if we could have David Livingston here this morning, I would gladly stand aside and say, Brother Livingston, speak to us about your missionary work in Africa. Or if we could have Hudson Taylor from China. Or if we could have George Mueller that had the orphanage there in Bristol, England. Or D.L. Moody. Or some of the other names that we know from history of godly men, we would gladly stand aside. You would give up your seat to them, wouldn't you? You'd be glad to do that. We would gladly show honor or respect or reverence toward that person. We would grasp the value of that person, and we would respond to that value. Well, this morning I want to talk to you just a little bit more about that, because many Bible words are picture words. I really love reading my Bible and going and looking at the words in Hebrew that the Old Testament was translated from, or going and looking at the words in Greek that the New Testament was translated from, And oftentimes, we don't have to have those words here in the service. Very few of us, maybe none of us, are Greek scholars or Hebrew scholars, and they probably, those words just fly through our ears and out the other side, you know, just like this, just gone as quick as anything, and we don't need those words, but we do need the truths that are there. And this word honor is one of those picture words. Now, I've been debating this morning whether I should try to show you this object lesson single-handedly or whether I need to enlist someone to help me. And since Aiden was unwise enough to sit on the front row, I think I'm going to enlist his help. If you can come up here and lend me a forefinger for a moment, I want you to hold up where everybody can see this and you can show it sideways and all the rest. A set of scales, very, very simple set of scales. In the old days, if you wanted to weigh something to see what it was worth, you would put the object in this side, and then you would put in this side the weights that came to equal this object in this side that told you how many shekels, how many gerahs, whatever it was it weighed, would be revealed in the weights you put in the other side. And so I have a father and mother, a little cut out today, and we're going to put them over here and see how valuable they are. Do you think they will stay up in the air? Well, God says to us that we are to show respect, we are to revere, we are to honor our father and mother. We're to consider them to have great reputation. And so when we show honor to our parents, and we put in the other side of the scale the word honor, we ask ourselves the question, have I ever showed to my parents, have I ever honored them equal to their value? Have I ever done that? And we begin to ask ourselves the question then, well, how do I do that? If I'm going to show them the honor that they deserve, then I need to do that. Well, in the scripture, there are three different words, and I'm going to put these up one after the other here in the scales, so that, turn them where people can see on the side and all around, and it may be difficult from the back to be able to see what these words are, but in Hebrews chapter 12, this morning in our Sunday school class, the adult class, we noticed there that we had fathers in our flesh who corrected us, and we gave them reverence. That's a very good word. We're going to talk about that word reverence in a little bit. And then in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4, we read the verse that says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And that is a way of us showing honor to our parents. And then in the scriptures again in Hebrews chapter 12, it tells us that we, because we show reverence toward our father and mother, that we are subject to them. And there are then four words, the word honor, which gives the whole picture of weight, of worthiness, of great value over here, that we try to balance out by honoring them, by having reverence for them, showing respect to them, by being in subjection to them, by obeying them. And those are the ways. Now, when I look at this, I feel that there's a personal testimony from me here, because when I think about how much my father and mother are worth, how valuable my father and mother were when they were alive, and what a great impact, what a blessing my father and mother were, I think I never gave them the honor they deserved. I think I never told them enough. I think I never showed enough respect. I think I never submitted to them as I should have submitted to them. I hope that this little simple illustration might convey some truth to you regarding the worthiness of our parents to be respected. And that's what's in, thank you, Aiden, that's what's in our text here in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So we begin our thinking along this line this morning with the concept that parents are of great value, of great worth. I'm going to ask you to turn to Proverbs chapter 30. We live in a generation, and it is not the first generation that was this way. Proverbs chapter 30. We live in a generation marked by disrespect, by irreverence, and disobedience. This commandment, Exodus chapter 20, honor thy father and thy mother, is the basis in the Bible for showing respect to others, especially our elders. In Proverbs chapter 30, and in verse number 11, we read these wise words: there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth, and the needy from among men. And then look down three verses further to verse 17. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. These verses are verses that describe this generation. I am embarrassed so many times to see young people treat their parents so badly. Some years ago, I was with a friend in a restaurant early one morning eating breakfast, and there was a little boy, probably only this tall, who had come in with his grandmother, who had taken him out to breakfast. And the little boy was so unruly and so disrespectful and so disobedient and so completely despised his grandmother, who was doing kindnesses to him, that I could not refrain. I could not hold back. I went over and I squatted down on the floor, knelt down on one knee, and I said to him, "Son, your grandmother is trying to treat you very, very kindly, and things will go a whole lot better all the way around if you'll just be respectful and you'll be obedient to your grandmother." And he was horrified to think that a complete stranger, a funny-looking old fellow, would come up to him and say these things to him. He was horrified. But his grandmother appreciated it because she understood that she held to and I held to what the Bible says when it says, honor your father and mother. And, of course, that includes grandmother and grandfather as well. The Scripture teaches this. I want to tell you what a blessing it is. It is so refreshing to me. Others of you will say the same. It is so refreshing to me to see our children and our youth showing respect and obeying their parents here at church. Oftentimes out on the veranda before a service or after a service, I'll see one of our teens, one of our young 20s, a single young person, come up to Mom and give Mom a hug and ask permission to go here or there. Or I'll see them come up and stand by Dad and put an arm around Dad. I've seen some of the dads grab their daughters and give them a big hug, and the daughter reciprocate and give a big hug back, and I say, yes, that's the way it ought to be. That's the sort of thing that ought to be happening, where children show parents the respect they deserve, and that's as it should be. It's a blessing to see that, isn't it? We want to encourage that. I feel like rewarding children and teens, young people, who do that and show such respect. Well, the Scripture tells us very plainly that we will live in an age where people, where children are disobedient to their parents. Romans chapter 1 and verse 30. I suggest two things to you this morning. Our parents, first of all, even if they do not know the Lord, you may be a born-again Christian young person or a child and you say, but my mom and dad don't know the Lord. Yet they brought you into the world, and you owe them respect for bringing you into this world. You would not be here were it not for them. These parents were chosen by God to be your parents. It is no accident God arranged that. He organized that before the world was. They were chosen for you. They fed you. They clothed you. They doctored you. They carried you when you couldn't walk. They housed you when you would have been homeless and died soon. They taught you so much of what you know. I was curious about this when I was reading over this and thinking over this. What does a baby cost? What does a baby cost? All the parents said, phew, you wouldn't believe. And all the kids said, eh, not much, like that. I went and looked it up. Now, if a child only stays home until they're 18 years old, and they don't have an iPad, and they don't have a computer, and they don't have a motorbike, and they don't have a jet ski, and they don't have their own car until they can pay for one, and they don't get a new set of clothes every 3 days, and new runners every 2 days, you know how kids go through clothes, and they don't get all these things that they want, and they don't get to go to Disneyland three times a year, and they don't get to do all of these things, you know, they don't get to do all of these things, it only costs about $300,000 to raise a child from birth to 18. But when the extras start coming online, and there's a private school, and there's an iPad, and there's their own television set in their room, danger, danger. And there are all these other little things that start adding on, the price goes up to $475,000, according to the statistics. Wow, Paul, we never knew you were a millionaire. And then, oh, I don't think he does all those things. And then they're saying now that children don't leave home at the age of 18. They don't go until they're 24 on the average. And that costs $1 million to raise a child from the time they're born up until they're 24 years old. And the longer they stay with you, the more expensive they get. And many of the dads said, hear, hear. Oh, I want to tell you, boys and girls, your moms and dads pay an enormous cost to bring you into the world and protect you and provide for you and train you and raise you and love you, trying to prepare for you a world that is a fierce, ferocious, voracious world that consumes young people 10,000 million a day. Oh, I want to tell you, even if your parents do not know the Lord and do not have His help in training you, but what about those whose parents do know the Lord? Did you know they invest even more in us? They do their best to tell us the way to heaven. They do their best, and our best is imperfect, we confess. They do their best to be a good example, to expose us to truth and right, and to shield us from evil and temptation. They do their best to warn us against companions who would lead us into destruction. Are you still there in your Bible in the book of Proverbs? If you aren't, or if you are, would you look in chapter 1 of Proverbs? I never read this chapter anymore without thinking how it is the heart cry of a parent in Proverbs chapter 1. And the Lord says here through a father to his son, verse number 10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. O son, don't listen to them. Verse 11, if they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Can you hear the words there of these sinners that would entice young people? Verse number 14, cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. Verse 15, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Don't keep company with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of every one that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Oh, godly parents, clear every obstacle they can from the road to heaven, and they place every roadblock they can find on the road to hell to keep us from going there. Our parents have such great value, it would do us good to begin making lists, even when we are adults, of all the blessings God brought into our lives through the parents He gave us, and then talk to our parents about those blessings. We are so blessed. Fathers, thank you. Mothers, thank you. I think it's a sad thing that we don't realize this young at a younger age. It's not until we become parents but begin to realize what it cost our parents to raise us and to help us and to point us in the right way. And so we think about the value of the parents. Keep the picture of the scales with the parents in one side and our expressions of honor in the other side. So think with me for a moment about the three words that explain the word honor. Hebrews 12 and verse 9 says that we show reverence to our parents. This is a word that's similar to the word honor, but with a difference, because this word that means to revere or to show reverence has a picture in it of a turning happening, of a turning away from disrespect and irreverence to turning toward respect and reverence toward the parent. That ought to speak to us strongly, because it's so easy for us to despise our parents, to ignore their counsel, to refuse their counsel, to not listen, stop our ears against our parents. And this word revere means to come to the realization that I owe them most of what I am and what I have, and I turn away from this despising of my parents to an appreciation of my parents. Do you know what it means to a parent to receive a phone call that has a voice in it, not some silly abbreviated text with most of the words misspelled, but a real voice that says, "Dad, I just want to tell you I love you. You mean a lot to me, Dad. I think about what you taught me when I was a kid and how we got our hands dirty working on a car and how you taught me things I needed to know. Mom, thank you." And to go through the details and talk to them about those things. Oh, you would be surprised what you can find to tell your parents in appreciation, if you will think of that for a moment, to revere our parents. And then the second word that we had here was the word subject. Now, that's a noun, but it's also a verb. And it's a word that means to find my place under authority. To see my parents properly, I see them as someone that God set in my life in leadership, and I have a place in rank under their leadership. To be subject, hupotasso is the word, to find my place in the rank and get in place. So how do I respond when my mother or father say to me to submit? Do I say no? Do I ignore their command? Do I become angry and slam doors and storm out of the house? Do I yell and throw things? Do I do a burnout in the driveway? Do I argue with my parents? Or do I say, okay, and do it? Do you know, young people, have you learned yet how to appeal to your parents? Have you learned yet how to appeal to your parents? Appealing to those in authority over us is perfectly biblical. The best picture of it in the Bible possibly is Esther, the Jewish queen appealing to a Gentile king that was one of the cruelest, harshest men that ever sat on the throne. And when she begins to appeal, you'll read the story, read the book of Esther again. When she begins to appeal, she fears for her life. She says to her cousin Mordecai, "I'm afraid that if I step into the king's throne room to make the appeal for our people, not to slay them all, and I've not been called to come before the king, I'm afraid if I step into the throne room, the king may not extend the scepter to me, and if he doesn't, they'll chop my head off." And then she says, "If I perish, I perish." And she steps in most graciously, most humbly, most submissively, most respectfully to the king, And the king sees her standing there and says, Queen Esther, what is your request? And already he's ready to respond to her appeal. Oh, parents, we need to train our children how to appeal to us. And we need to train ourselves to listen to their appeals and consider their appeal. We often make mistakes. They may save us great embarrassment and great harm if we listen to their appeal. And so the king listened. And by the time you get to the end of the book, the change in the king is marvelous. And you get down to the end of the book and he's saying, is there anything else you'd like, dear? I marvel at that. I read that and I think how God can move a hard heart. And so it's important for us to be subject to our parents with such an attitude of humility and recognition of our place in the family that when we need to make an appeal, our father or our mother remembers that we're subject and it's easy for them to listen to our appeal. And then the word obey was the third example, the third part of the definition of honor. We think we know what that means, don't we? In the Old Testament, it's the word shema, and that's the word for hear. It means to hear unto obedience. How many of us parents have ever said to our child, did you hear what I said? Because we link together hearing and obeying. There's a word there somewhere. Hearing and obeying. We link those two together, and that's biblical. Shema means hear, and it's also translated obey. In the New Testament, there's a word for hear, and it's the word akouo. Does that ring a bell anywhere? Does that sound like an English word? Acoustics. Our word acoustics is related to the Greek word for hear. Acoustics is what's happening here in the auditorium this morning. But the word obey means acoustics underneath authority. Hupa akoi. Under, to hear under. So that when a father says to his child, come here. And the child says, come on, Dad. And they actually do it. They tell us that they heard and they responded to what they heard. I love it that the Lord Jesus, when the disciples came to him and said, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, called a little child unto him. And that child heard and obeyed. And the Lord Jesus said, except a man humble himself as this little child, he shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Oh, obedience is so vital. Wonderful, wonderful thing for children to learn to obey, to hear under authority. Dad's the boss and mom's the deputy. I do what they say and do it respectfully. And so those are three ways we show honor to our parents. Now we have a couple of minutes left, and so I ask you to turn back to Luke chapter 2. But I want to show you the perfect example of honoring the parents. Luke chapter 2. The Lord Jesus at the age of 12 was taken to Jerusalem. We don't know how many times they traveled from Nazareth to Jerusalem at the time of the Passover. But this is an important occasion, the age of 12. In verses 46 and 47, we see the actions of a child who was learning, growing, asking questions. In our adult Sunday school class this morning, we looked at the word for the child, which is the word pais, P-A-I-S, we would spell it. It's related to paideia, that's the word for child rearing. So pais is the word here, and that's the word for the child. It tells us there in verse 46, is it? Which verse was it we saw that talked about the Lord Jesus being the child? So the Lord Jesus was there asking questions, learning. And then their query is found in verse number 48. And when they saw him, they were amazed. They'd gone a day's journey, didn't find him on the way back to Galilee. A day's journey back, didn't see him on the way. And now they've spent a day looking through Jerusalem. And someone says, quite likely, oh, I saw him, he's in the temple. He's with the doctors of the law. He's with the theologians, the rabbis. He's with the fellows that run the Bible college there. And they come into the temple. When they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And then I notice the reply of the Lord Jesus indicates that he already knew more than his parents. Can we talk about that a moment? Most children go through a stage of thinking that they know more than mom and dad. I got bad news for you. You don't. You think you do, but you don't. Mark Twain said, when I was 17 years old, my dad was the dumbest person I'd ever met. By the time I got to 21, he'd smartened up quite a bit. Now, you know what that means, don't you? Is that Mark Twain is smartened up quite a bit, and he realized that old dad wasn't a dummy. Dad knew what was going on. Dad was well informed. But if there was ever a person in the universe that as a child could say justly and rightly, I know more than all my teachers. I know more than my mother and father. I know more than the sum total of all the knowledge of every human being that was ever born into this world. It would be the Lord Jesus. He knew more than they knew. He knew who he was and they didn't. He knew what his calling was and they didn't. He knew who his father was truly and most people didn't. The Lord Jesus knew everything there was to know. He's the one that spoke the word and was the word that caused the universe to spring into existence. The power of the word expressed into this vacuum, this emptiness of the universe that was not yet, caused everything to speak into existence. And he did that. The scripture tells us that all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. And now here incarnate in the body of a 12-year-old boy, questioned by his mother and his stepfather, why have you done this? We've sought thee sorrowing. The Lord Jesus said to them, didn't you know that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. But I want you to notice this. In verse 51, the scripture says, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. Do you know what you have there? You have reverence. You have being subject. And you have obedience. Here's the Lord Jesus showing us how to respond to our parents. Oh, young people, I need to say to you that when we start into the years of puberty, and we think we know a lot, and we think we have the right to do our own thing, the best thing we can do is honor our father and mother, because that's the pathway of blessing. It's the pathway of blessing. I get to go once in a while. Mr. Ralph is very tolerant, and the teachers at Jubilee are very tolerant, and they let me come and talk to the kids at Jubilee. How many of the kids are in Jubilee Day School? Who's in Jubilee Day School? Is anybody here that's in Jubilee Day School? Okay, some of you are. I have a privilege of going and talking to them. And once in a while, I like to talk to them about the importance of being obedient to the Lord, to their parents, to their teachers. I like to talk to them about that. Last Monday, I was there to speak with them, and I told them about a missionary on the mission field who worked and worked and worked with his children to simply obey. He trained them and worked with them and schooled them and tested them. Could they simply obey without even knowing a reason? And so, one day as he and his son were walking through the jungle, the land where they were, the little boy was in front, and all of a sudden his dad said, Johnny, hit the ground. And the little boy just fell immediately to the earth. The danger passed, and the little boy said, what was that all about, Dad? And he said, there was a great big snake in the tree that reached down with enough length to coil around you and pull you away. But you obeyed. You did what I taught you to do. And it saved his life. And so it is. Children, obey. Honor, be subject, be reverent. Obey your father and mother. That's the pathway of blessing. We see so often children, young people, young adults, despising their father and mother, turning away in disobedience and rebellion, and then we see the shipwreck. We see the broken lives and broken hearts. And so we stand, light of this word, at a crossroads. Will I obey? Will I be subject? I'll listen closely. Will I revere them? This is God's plan for us. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll be working in our hearts. We realize it's the work of the Spirit of God by the Word of God to make application of Scripture to us in such a way that we embrace it, we engraft it into our hearts, not to be hearers only, but doers of the Word. Possibly this morning there are children, some of them may be more than 20 years old, that need to go to one or both of their parents and say, I'm sorry, I've been disrespectful, I've been disobedient, I've not been subject to my parents. And to make things right with mom and dad and come under their protection, their watch care. And then, Father, there may be some here this morning that have been doing the right thing in obedience, and they need to go to their parents and renew that and refresh it, commit themselves openly to be respectful, trusting God to work through their parents for their good and for the glory of God. Help us parents that are here this morning, Lord, to welcome the appeals of our children, to care for them, to guide them aright, to teach them the way to heaven. We pray in Jesus' name.